You're listening to Talk It Out, LGBTQ Voices in a Queer Election Year, presented by Gay City News and GayCityNews.com. I'm your host, Paul Schindler. Thanks for joining me for the 11th episode of Talk It Out. This week, we zoom in on a competitive U.S. House race in New York State. In 2022, during what was supposed to be a red wave, that never really materialized, Republicans did manage to flip 4 seats in New York, which meant that the state contributed 80% of the seats the GOP needed to capture control of the House of Representatives. As we approached the November elections, pundits believed that 4 or 5 Republican seats in New York could be captured by Democrats, helping their party retake the House. One of those seats is the 17th congressional district seat in the Hudson Valley north of New York City. There, Mondaire Jones, a gay Black Democrat who held the seat from 2020 until 2022, hopes to win back the district against freshman Republican Mike Lawler. Because of redistricting following the 2020 election, 2 Democratic incumbents, both gay, Jones and Sean Patrick Maloney, could have contested the seat in 2022, but Jones bowed out in favor of Maloney, who went on to lose to Lawler by less than 1%. Jones and Lawler now battle it out in a Democratic-leaning district that includes Rockland and Putnam counties, as well as northern Westchester County. My guests include Shannon Powell, the co-founder of Indivisible Westchester, a grassroots group of progressive activists founded in response to Donald Trump's 2016 victory. I also speak to Anthony Nicodemo, president of the Hudson Valley Stonewall Democrats, an LGBT club active in Westchester County and beyond. My guest is Shannon Powell, who is the co-founder of Indivisible Westchester. That group, located in the large suburban county just north of New York City, describes itself as a movement of neighbors and friends working together to promote policies and legislation that uphold the values of inclusion, respect, justice, and nonviolence. Shannon is here today to talk about her group's work during this election year, to tell us what she and her group are hearing on the ground about voter concerns, and to give us an understanding of how things are shaping up in both the presidential race there, but also in a key U.S. House race that pits former Democratic Congressman Mondaire Jones against the current representative from New York's 17th Congressional District, Republican Mike Lawler. Welcome to the podcast, Shannon.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Shannon, let's start off by you telling us a bit more about Indivisible Westchester, how the group came together, and how it works within the Westchester County political scene.
Sure. Indivisible Westchester, we are an outgrowth of the Trump effect. A number of us came back from the Women's March in 2017, and we're really inspired by what happened there and really knew that we had a big task before us, that Trumpism was a very dangerous threat to our democracy. We clearly see that still playing out. We were motivated to not just talk about our fears, but to do something. So a number of us got together and we started talking to each other. What can we do? We were unhappy with the options of just kind of plugging into the Democratic Party. This thing called the Invisible Guide was written by 2 former Capitol Hill staffers. It was a roadmap that the founders, Ezra Levin and his wife, they were in Washington during the Tea Party rise. So they really learned a lot just about how you need to organize and how you really need to challenge your officials, that you need to motivate people on the ground to be involved in their communities and to be involved in their politics. Our first Indivisible Westchester meeting, 700 people showed up to, and we had a movement. The way that Indivisible Westchester is organized in Westchester is what we have found is the most effective way of organizing is to be as hyperlocal as possible, because the more locally focused you can be, the more impact you can have. So we encourage people within their own communities to form throughout Westchester to form their own little small indivisible groups. So there are a number of different indivisible groups throughout Westchester. Indivisible New Rochelle is a wonderful example of this. Montaire Jones was a member of Indivisible Westchester. A lot of people don't know that before he decided to run for Congress. The whole movement inspired a lot of people. And so we have been successful because there are so many groups working to affect change with their neighbors, with their friends, with their own city council, with their town council. That is one of the reasons that really ever since 2016, Westchester has become a deeply blue county on the whole. And Indivisible Westchester is almost kind of like the umbrella group that we're just really here to serve all of the local groups on the ground that are kind of doing more of the very localized work. And we help people come together to kind of focus around these bigger issues, bigger races, bring people together. And Mondaire Jones's race in New York 17 is a perfect example of that.
What do your efforts look like during this kind of election year where you're working on a congressional race that is very important to who controls Congress next year?
We had a meeting several weeks ago about this where we got a whole bunch of indivisible leaders together. And Westchester is divided between New York 16 and 17. So a lot of people, you know, were involved in the race for 16, and people in 17 have been involved with Mondaire since the beginning. To explain it for people who don't understand Westchester, New York 16 is like lower Westchester and a little bit of the Bronx. And then New York 17 is just like almost like the mid part of the county upwards into some of the other like Rockland and Putnam and to some of the other counties that border us. So we had a meeting where we got all of the group leaders together and from 16 and really made them understand, okay, look, Mondaire A is one of us. You know, we all know and love him because he represented half the county several years ago when he was first elected to office, and that the race 2 years ago when Mike Lawler won that seat was really lost to a great extent in Westchester. I think people, even people who have been involved in races, who work on a lot of congressional races, and I'm talking about indivisible activists, people didn't quite even understand the granular aspects of the race, in that the turnout for Sean Patrick Maloney, who was the last person to run in 17, lost by just a very small 1,500 votes. I forget the number. I wish I had the number in front of me, but because Westchester turnout was not as robust as they had wished. The message is, we don't want Mondaire to lose this race because we have not done enough to turn out the vote in Westchester. Yes, the other counties are important, not to disparage any of the work that anybody does elsewhere, but really it's our job as Westchester residents to be all in for Mondaire here. So hopefully we can really come together and do all that we can to help get Mondaire over the line and help him win here in Westchester.
Mike Lawler actually won by less than 1%. For our listeners, they should understand that there was redistricting. It's hard to do an apples to apples comparison. 2 years ago, two Democratic congressmen could have run in that district, and the longer term incumbent, Sean Patrick Maloney, who along with Mondaire was one of the three gay electeds to Congress from New York State. But Sean Patrick Maloney ran in that race and lost very narrowly. Mondaire in his 2020 race had actually won by, he had nearly 60% of the vote in a somewhat different district, but again, a district that had a large portion of Westchester County. So when you're out doing your work, this involves door-to-door canvassing, I assume?
The one thing that we really want people to do is knock doors. When Indivisible Westchester was founded, the first big event that we did was a canvas training. 2020, there wasn't canvassing. Even 2 years ago, COVID was still a thing, and some people were a little bit sketchy about knocking doors and being together in big groups. But you know, now it's like, okay, let's get the energy going. Let's get people back. Let's get them on the doors. And that doesn't mean that the phone calls and the texting and even the postcarding isn't important, but that direct voter contact, nothing beats that. And really, to get out the vote in this race, I think it's going to take as many people knocking as many doors for as long as they can to really, really have a solid win. Michael Oller is an extremely difficult candidate. He is everywhere. And this is another message for also people within the activist community, is that there can also be assumptions that, well, it's a presidential year, it's a Biden plus 10 district. Now everybody's excited about Harris. This is going to bring so many people out. Well, a lot of people now know Mike Lawler, and they've maybe met Mike Lawler, and they've maybe seen Mike Lawler. And because of redistricting, as you said, they might not know Mondo Jones. And that was a couple of years ago. So it's really going to take an effort to get people out there to explain these things. But, you know, Mike Lawler is the party of Trump. He wants people to believe that he's the most bipartisan person out there and he's harmless, and he's not. He's anything but that. So it's our job to really let them know that a vote for Mike Lawler is a vote for Trump and the Project 2025 agenda. And that's not what you want, especially, you know, if you're a Democrat, you're voting Harris. If you want President Harris to be successful, then you need to also support Mondaire Jones, not just because he's a wonderful candidate who believes in the right things, but he's also going to help get her agenda passed. And Mike Lawler won't.
So you talk about training people to do canvassing, to do door knocks. What are the most important things that a potential volunteer needs to know about what it takes to actually go out and knock on doors?
That's a really good question. I'm going to say it's really simple to not be scared. I think people are intimidated by knocking on doors. A lot of times it's not like they're going to ask you 500 million questions. It's not going to be like a final exam of sorts. It's really just almost to be neighborly, to say hi, to have a nice conversation, to share a little bit of information. It's very rare that you have somebody who's really going to ask you a whole bunch of questions that are difficult or put you in an uncomfortable position. I think the most important message is really you're there to listen. The most effective canvassing happens when you go to a door. Here's my candidate. I want to let you know about Mondaire Jones, but I want to let you know about Mondaire Jones in the context of, because what's important to you? And a lot of times people will take the time just to talk to you about what they're concerned about. And your job really is just to listen. And if you listen to people, they will really be open and responsive, and that can actually make the difference. They just want to be heard. They want to feel like their concerns are being heard. You might not have the answer. If you can say, yes, I understand that your concerns, and try and get to some shared values, you know, you're good.
Are there particular geographic areas within the county or demographic groups that you prioritize in your efforts?
We really need to get out votes in some of the areas like Peekskill, which are some of the more concentrated areas. That's a somewhat harder to canvass, and also to not ignore the base of support where there's really heavy Democratic representation and a lot of voters like Cortland and Croton. Those are great areas, but you just can't take them for granted. That's a super great area where Democrats are strong, but you just can't assume, oh, well, everybody's, you know, going to come out from Mondaire. We also have been working with Hispanic Dems of Westchester. We did a few joint canvasses 2 years ago. We did a great one with Sean Patrick Maloney and Sleepy Hollow. So we're working with them to try and pair up, you know, an English and a Spanish-speaking canvasser to try and double our efforts in some areas. So definitely working with them to reach that community is also very important.
What issues are you hearing most about when you talk to folks in Westchester, or even when you listen to your neighbors in Westchester? What are people talking about this year? What are they concerned about?
Reproductive rights, the right to an abortion. There's a proposition, and I think this helps Democrats. The ERA is on the ballot this year, so this is also a big part of our outreach that we need to really start working on, which should help Mondaire. Passing the New York Equal Rights Amendment, which will codify abortion rights into law in New York State, into the state constitution, and give other protections against discrimination. So that's incredibly important because, yes, New York has some of the most liberal abortion laws on the books right now in terms of protecting the right to choose and the right to reproductive health care. But that doesn't mean that it's going to be there forever. So making sure that that protection stays is incredibly important. older people are worried about cuts to Social Security and Medicare. That's not sexy to talk about, and you don't hear about it a lot. But look, a lot of voters who are older and looking at retirement, that's super, super, super important. You know, the economy, of course, job market has been great. The stock market, aside from a few bumps, has been wonderful. But, you know, the price of things are going up. So the cost of living, even though the Inflation Reduction Act has been incredibly successful, it's still an issue that people worry about. And then I would just say broadly, democracy, with Trump running and on the ticket and this crazy Project 2025 agenda that they want to roll out, our country will not be the same. Our country already with, I think, what the Supreme Court has done. And again, abortion is a perfect example of that. You know, I would be worried about gay marriage and making sure that that stays legal. I mean, all of these things that we know are threatened. People worry about democracy and their rights. And that's why I love what Harris is talking about. Freedom. I think the messaging that the campaign is doing is so powerful because it's talking about our basic freedoms. I mean, when you're talking about preserving democracy, you're really talking about protecting our freedoms.
Trump and Vance talk an awful lot about immigration and the border. How big an issue is that in Westchester County? And do you feel as though the Harris campaign and Mondaire's campaign are addressing that issue adequately?
I will say that the border and actually the immigration issue and the issue of asylum seekers who have been bussed up to New York, our county executive actually has handled that very well. Border security is important. And that's why I love that Harris's first, one of her first ads really leaned into that. It's like, don't let them use that as a fear mongering issue. So it's something that comes up sometimes. It's something that, yes, there needs to be reform, but the Republicans are the ones that constantly stand in the way of reforming our immigration laws. Trump himself said that he doesn't want to do it. The Republicans want to use it as an election year issue. They don't really care about solving it. And then you have, you know, the governor of Texas bussing people up here as a PR stunt. And, you know, these are people's lives. So we just need to be respectful. If you want something done, you can't vote for a party that just uses that as an excuse to run on. If you really want to solve the immigration crisis, then you need to elect people like Harris and like Mondaire who are willing to sit down and really work and on legislation and on solutions instead of slogans.
How much more optimistic are you about this autumn in the past 3 weeks? Since the president made the very difficult decision to step aside and the vice president has now stepped up.
I think the enthusiasm is terrific. I myself am a Biden delegate. I was a big Biden fan. It was a difficult situation, but at the end of the day, the president, you know, was a patriot and did the right thing. And he felt that passing the torch to Harris would be best for not only the Democratic Party, but the American people. And again, preserving our country and winning in November. And people are excited and energized. I mean, you see it. It's the number of people who've reached out who want to do something. It's helped. It's helping get people excited to do the work. It was not as easy when it was just Biden on the ticket to get that enthusiasm up. The challenge was the same, right? The challenge hasn't changed. But now it was still, we need to defeat Trump. We need to elect Mondaire. We need to flip the House. We need to preserve the Senate. But people feel motivated and it's cross-generational. It's wonderful to see. People are more excited to get involved, do the work, ask how they can become involved. And, you know, look, flipping these districts in New York is a big piece of winning back the House. New York is a battleground state when it comes to retaining and not retaining, but, you know, what is the word?
Recapturing.
Yes, thank you. New York is battleground when it comes to recapturing the House. And I was saying this 2 years ago, actually. I said New York is going to be a battleground state and control of the House is going to run through New York. And I actually had an effort that I put together to make that case. And a lot of people at the time thought I was crazy. But now more than ever, New York is definitely a battleground state. And there are a number. Mondaire's district is the marquee district that we really need to flip, but it's just one of many that we need to flip from red to blue. And there are a couple of blue seats that we need to hold on to that are going to be hard. So it's going to, you know, these districts, people in New York have work to do. So a lot of people might want to just get on a bus and go to Pennsylvania, because that's a battleground state for Harris. And I'm not saying that's a bad idea. Do that. I mean, I went and knocked doors in Pennsylvania 2 years ago for Biden. I mean, 4 years ago for Biden when they allowed canvassing again. But that being said, Harris will only be a successful president if you have people like Mondaire in office. And if New York is the battleground state for Congress, and this is about, and this is a district we need to flip, then the work that we have to do here in New York is just about as important as the work that needs to be done in Pennsylvania. And that's one of the big messages, actually, that we are trying to get across to people, because everybody wants to go, well, it's sexy to go to Pennsylvania. Well, it's sexy to knock doors here, too, because that's going to be how we win.
Shannon, you mentioned Lawler's efforts to position himself as bipartisan. And I want to just mention a couple of things that he did that captured my attention. He was among the earliest to call for George Santos to be expelled. He had stated that had he been in Congress at the time, he would have voted to enshrine federal recognition of same-sex marriage. And there was a very conservative federal Parents' Bill of Rights. One of the things among many that it would have done would have required schools to report to parents of students' desire to change their gender pronouns, even if there was evidence that it could lead to physical abuse at home. He backed away from that bill. Do you think that he authentically has shown real independence, or are these examples real outliers?
He is the school of, I'm going to have a record that's going to give me the best shot of being reelected. I don't think it reflects his philosophy. And this is where I think this gets really dangerous, is that I don't think he holds the values that Democrats hold. And so he might back away from this or that or change a few votes here or there. But he was happily at the RNC convention there with Trump and there with all the crazies who were up on stage, with all of the felons who were working on the campaign, of all the felons who spoke at the convention. He's not one of these never Trumpers Republicans. He is saying to people, you can vote your conscience with Harris. That's fine. But, you know, you can trust me. You can't trust him. So he will take those votes because it works for him politically. But I don't have faith personally that that's what he believes. I think it's about his political ambitions. He seems to be somebody who's making moves to maybe run for governor someday. He is going to be of the party of not only the GOP, but the party of Mike Lawler. And that's it.
When you knock doors, is an argument that a vote for Mike Lawler is a vote for Speaker Mike Johnson, and a vote for a representative in the House who, should Trump be elected, would be a supporter of a Trump presidency. Is that an argument that voters can wrap their arms around up in Westchester County?
If you're knocking on what we call a prime Dem door of a Democrat who's going to vote and votes in all elections and is very, look, Westchester is full of a lot of very smart, politically engaged and in tune people. So you'll knock on a lot of doors of people who do watch the news and follow political events and know that. And yes, it's an effective message. I mean, like Mike Johnson has come down and held a number of fundraisers for Mike Lawler. And I don't need to tell you that Mike Johnson was the author of the Don't Say Gay bill. He does not share our values, that's for sure. And that's who the Republicans have put forth and have for speaker. And so, yeah, a vote for Mike Lawler is perfectly happy with Mike Johnson when he's raising money for him. Again, because that works for, it goes back to my earlier point, because that works for Mike Lawler's political career.
Mondaire represented a good portion of the district for 2 years, from 2021 until the end of 2022. What are the issues that he is best connecting with voters on right now?
Mondaire, to me, is just such a He's just such a genuine person. He's very strong when it comes to democracy, that's for sure, and freedoms. He does a good job when it comes to being able to listen to people and really have that kind of empathetic point of view of where people are coming from and really being a good listener. Mondaire himself came from an extraordinary background, and he just has a real gift for making people feel special. But that being said, I mean, he's very strong on, you know, a lot of the freedom, reproductive rights, LGBTQ rights. He's very good on civil rights, voting rights, Supreme Court reform. There was just a big event a couple of days ago about Mike Waller had voted to cut $700 million of funding for clean water. So you can put on the environment. These are the kinds of things that Mondaire is not going to take no for. So he's going to be a champion for just the kind of core values-driven issues that power the Democratic Party. And I think that really are just important to most Americans. Mike Lawler, again, just the other day, said Democrats hate this country. Democrats don't hate this country. Democrats love this country. And we want this country to be great. That's why we're knocking doors for Mondaire Jones, because we believe in a country of freedoms and rights and opportunity and respect and love and security. We want a strong economy. We want business opportunity. I mean, we're for all these things. We aren't for pitting people against one another. We're for working together for the greater good.
You referred to Mondaire Jones's extraordinary background. Can you just spell that out a little bit for our listeners?
He grew up in Rockland County. He grew up in Section 8 housing. He went on to Stanford Law School, and he was elected to Congress. You know, that's in the American dream. If you want to talk about the American dream, that's what I mean. He's that kind of person. And when you hear his personal story, and he's better at telling it himself, you're like, wow. I mean, that's what you want for everybody. You want for everybody in this country to be able to be a member of Congress, no matter what the circumstance they were born into is.
There was a very controversial Democratic primary in your adjoining district, the 16th district. The incumbent, Jamal Bowman, a prominent progressive, was being challenged by the Westchester County executive, George Latimer. Mondaire endorsed Latimer, and Latimer went on to win that primary. Is that endorsement relevant to voters in the 17th district? And is there any fallout among those in the 17th who might have liked Jamal Bowman?
People and even in the activist community, you know, there were people who were split. But at the end of the day, Mondaire worked for George, and Mondaire spent significant amount of time talking to people in his own district. So he said himself that his endorsement reflected not only his concerns, but the concerns, you know, that people in his district had. But at the end of the day, you know, look, we're Democrats. We have primaries. When you live in a district, like Westchester has become bluer and bluer and bluer. So at the end of the day, what happens is that instead of Republicans versus Democrats, you're going to have more Democrats versus Democrats. So we just have to move forward and come together, because really this is about something bigger. This is about the country now. This is about Harris, and this is about stopping a really dangerous agenda. Mondaire's race in that district, New York 17, one of the top districts, that we need to flip in order to have any prayer of reclaiming the House for Democrat. And if Harris wins, helping her have a successful presidency and putting this country back on the right path.
You mentioned that knocking doors and being active in Westchester County can be as sexy as being active down in Philadelphia. For listeners who want to get in on that up in Westchester County, what's the best way for them to get engaged with your group?
Oh, you know, that's a terrific question. Send an email, because we are engaging as best we can with a bunch of different efforts. So communications@indivisiblewestchester.com is the best way to reach out. That's what you emailed me at, right?
So Exactly. I can tell our listeners that those emails do work. Shannon Powell, co-founder of Indivisible Westchester, thank you for joining the podcast.
Paul, it's been a really wonderful conversation. I thank you so much.
You're listening to Talk It Out, LGBTQ Voices in a Queer Election Year, presented by Gay City News and GayCityNews.com. I'm your host, Paul Schindler. My guest is Anthony Nicodemo, who is the president of the Hudson Valley Stonewall Democrats, an LGBTQ political club active in the Hudson Valley region just north of New York City. And Anthony is also the chair of the Yonkers LGBTQ Advisory Board in the Westchester County community where he lives. Anthony is here today to discuss, among other topics, the congressional campaign of Mondaire Jones, a gay Black Democrat who is working to retake the 17th congressional seat in the Hudson Valley that he held from 2021 until 2023. The 17th district is among five New York State seats held by Republicans considered to be in play this year, increasing the potential for Democrats to retake the House of Representatives in January. Welcome to the podcast, Anthony.
Hey, Paul, thanks for having me, and thanks for getting out there and doing these updates. Really important to the people out there.
Anthony, let's begin by you describing the kind of organizing work your club will do in the congressional, presidential, and other contests over the next 3 months.
I mean, I think there's a lot of different ways to do things, but I think face-to-face conversations is the most important way to do things. So my hope would be to rally and get some of the, you know, LGBTQ folks and allies in the Hudson Valley, in that CD district, to get out there and knock on doors. Obviously, we'll always look to help the, you know, the campaign with postcard writing and things like that. But getting out there and knocking on doors and giving people the reason that they need to get out and vote for a specific candidate is the best way to activate voters.
In terms of knocking on doors, what's the nature of those kind of contacts? I mean, how long does a conversation typically last when you knock on a door?
Yeah, I think a lot of it depends on the person. You know, using these vans, generally you're going to go after Democratic voters who don't have terrific voter turnout, right? So to the Democrat that goes out every single year and votes, you know, we know who those people are. We know those are safe voters. The key is to get the voters who don't necessarily turn out every election to the polls, because generally those people are going to vote Democrat. In this particular year, it's probably going to be a little bit easier in a massive presidential election. These voters are going to be more likely to go out. But I think just having those conversations is really important. And, you know, I've had conversations where I've knocked on doors and they said, thank you, we're going to vote, no problem. And then I've had conversations with people who are kind of middle of the road of why am I going to do this? And you kind of have to, you know, convince them. And I think a big piece of it is going intersectionality, right? Going across the board. What do they do for a living? You know, are they educators? Are they union people? There's a lot of different points that you want to hit depending on what group you're canvassing for.
Anthony, you use the term vans, which I imagine may come up again in our conversation. For our listeners, I want to clarify that VAN stands for Voter Action Network, which is a database tool used by progressive and Democratic groups that provides information about an individual's voting history, their likely party affiliation, and their contact information. Do you target specific neighborhoods, communities, or within a given community, are you looking for folks that you know don't vote often, or is it a combination of both?
Yeah, I think generally you kind of look to what the campaign, the people on the ground are doing, right? The campaign knows which communities they need to hit and where you need to go. But the modern technology of the van system and knowing all this, we have the voter data at our fingertips. So we're really able to target where we need to target. You know, previously in 2022, I knocked doors in Croton for Sean Patrick Maloney. That was a place that we felt we needed to get out, get voters out. It's a pretty Democratic community, so we needed to turn those people out to try to get a win there. It didn't necessarily work out that way for various reasons, but, you know, targeting those communities where people are going to turn out and vote is really important.
Do you, at this point, it's still July, just barely July, but it's still July, do you have a notion yet, Anthony, of the number of contacts your group is going to be able to make this year in terms of face-to-face contacts?
No, I think we're a little early in that. There's a weird dynamic here that happened once we changed the primary dates. People really take off in summer here. You know, other communities across the country, kids are going back to school next week or the following week. So it's a little bit different of a dynamic there. We have this weird dynamic where July and August are basically downtimes. even for a lot of candidates, depending on the race, they kind of go into a little bit of hibernation. But once Labor Day hits, people kind of get back into the swing of things with there's no more summer Fridays. There's no more summer Mondays. People are at work full time. Kids are in school. Halloween is 2 months away. Christmas is a couple months away. We just move very quickly into the year, I think, in September in this particular region. So, you know, those kind of conversations, I think, would be more had in September. And I think a big thing was this top of the ticket switch with Kamala Harris and Joe Biden changed a lot of conversations. So I think how the Democratic convention is going to play out in 2 weeks is going to change the conversation a lot for moving targets and such like that following Labor Day.
You mentioned looking to the candidates' campaigns themselves for some direction. Are there other partner groups in the Hudson Valley that the Stonewall Democrats tend to work with from election cycle to election cycle?
Yeah, I mean, from a personal standpoint, I'll always let Labor take the lead. You know, I'm a local president. I'm on the NYSET board of directors. I work very closely with the AFT on a national level. I just got back from Houston. I was there last week when Kamala Harris, of course, gave her terrific speech right after she decided she was running. And, you know, their resources are tremendous. They're better than most of the Infinity, right? The Affinity LGBTQ group. So we'll kind of piggyback on Labor a lot. They're just really good at what they do. They've been very successful in a lot of these races. So for me, you know, I'm going to look to NYSET in these local races to get out and team up with them to collaborate on trying to get Mondaire specifically elected.
Anthony, you mentioned NYSET. For our listeners, NYSET is affiliated with both the American Federation of Teachers and the National Education Association, and represents more than 1,200 teachers unions and more than 700,000 members statewide in New York. What kind of labor, what kind of union representation do you see in your district up there?
I mean, this is a very labor intensive area. You know, you have the Westchester Putnam Labor Council, which is very active. You have tons of Teamsters, you know, cops, fire, educators, of course. You know, the whole AFL-CIO group, I guess, as a whole is very prevalent in this area. That's across the state in general. We're a pro-labor state. So the collaboration across the board with these various groups is extremely important. They're going to get out, you know, 1199, BJ, these people get out, they wear their t-shirts, they're very active. And I think we're going to see them locally. And I also think you're going to see them cross the border into Pennsylvania in the presidential side of things as we get closer to November as well.
At this point in the election cycle, what kind of issues are you most frequently hearing about either from your Stonewall Democrat members or from voters up there?
You know, the thing that you keep hearing across the board, of course, is the general living conditions, right? Young people not necessarily be able to ownership of homes, grocery prices being high. I think the migrant thing, it dropped off just a little bit. I think Republicans are trying to keep it going, but it isn't where it once was. I think early on under Joe Biden, it was a bigger issue. But I think those issues, I think just people going to the grocery store, you know, and spending more money on groceries or more money on gas or more money on common goods. And I think, you know, we're there for various reasons. And I think that explaining to people why we're there and why we need to elect someone like Mondaire, or in our case, elect Democrats to fix what's going on is an important piece. And I think that's, you know, COVID. I think coming out of COVID, I don't think it matters who the president was, to be totally honest with you. I think we're always going to blame the other side. But I think that, you know, this is something unprecedented and this is going to play out this way no matter what.
You mentioned the migrant issue, and the vice president in the last few days has hit back hard at Trump over the fact that he basically killed that bipartisan immigration compromise that was worked out in Congress. Is that an argument that you think can be conveyed to voters in a straightforward way that's going to change some minds on who they're blaming and how they're thinking about the immigration issue?
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of people have been chirping that, you know, Joe Biden waited until it was so bad because it was an election year. And listen, the timing of it was there, of course. You know, maybe there were some other things that the administration was trying that weren't working, so he needed to move to that. But that happens, right? It happens in every administration. Sometimes mistakes are made where you could do things a little differently. And I think the Biden administration has done that. It's a fact that this has happened. And I think the Harris campaign is doing a very good job of pushing back on it now, you know, and sharing the fact that there was bipartisan legislation that was backed by the people who work at the border. It was backed by Republican and Democrat leaders, you know, on the border. And yet it was squashed by Donald Trump for a divisive reason, right? To try to win an election. But I think saying it, sharing it, and then, of course, I think, you know, I like graphics. I think getting people things out there visually with clips and things are really an important way to share this. So I think we need to keep doing that as we head to November. You know, stick with the facts, stick with the truth. And I think if you do that, the middle of the road people that are going to decide this election are going to go and vote for someone that's going to help bring this country forward, not vote for a convicted felon who's 78 years old.
Anthony, you've already mentioned the swap at the top of the ticket with Kamala Harris, now the Democratic presidential candidate. Up until that point, with the concerns about Biden's age, had you been seeing disengagement among voters? And if you had been seeing that, do you think that's been fundamentally turned on its head by Harris moving to the forefront?
I was one of the people that was kind of supporting the president, you know, until there was a better option, until we saw how this was going to play out. I wasn't one that was yelling and screaming for Joe Biden to drop out of the race. But once it happened, I think we saw, you know, right in front of us, the energy is just absolutely insane. I've kind of stayed away from the polls since 2016. But if the polls are correct, we've certainly seen massive changes in the polls. This is only 10 days. You know, this happened on a Sunday. I was getting off a plane in Houston and my phone started to buzz. And then, you know, 3 days later, the vice president was in Houston with our teachers union speaking. So it's just insane. And I keep using the sports narrative as a basketball coach. Basketball is a game of runs. The team that makes the run in a close race is going to win the game. And I think you're seeing that. And I don't think that Kamala is going to lose the oxygen in the room in the next couple of weeks because she's going to choose her vice presidential candidate. And then you're going to have the convention. It's Labor Day. You know, at that point, if she's able to get a lead in this thing, you know, is Donald Trump going to be able to spin that back around, you know, with 2 months to go in the race? And I'm just not so sure that he is. And voter turnout is always important. If Democrats turn out and vote, the Democrats are going to win. And in this particular race, you know, your women, your minorities, your young folks, they're going to turn out and vote for Kamala Harris. And I think that she's going to become the president because of that.
So bear with me for a moment here, Anthony. I want to bring our listeners up to speed on the somewhat complicated history of this 17th district's representation. Mondaire Jones held that seat for 2 years following the 2020 election. Then we had redistricting here in New York State. Another longer-term Democratic incumbent, who is also gay, Sean Patrick Maloney from a neighboring district, ended up running in the 17th district in 2022, but he suffered a narrow loss to Republican Mike Lawler. Meanwhile, Mondaire Jones that year sought an open seat in New York City, but did not survive the Democratic primary. And now Jones is back in the 17th district this year, taking on Lawler, in a district that comprises many of the same communities he originally represented. And I think it's worth noting that in 2020, he carried that district with about 59% of the vote. How do you handicap Mondaire Jones' prospects this year?
I mean, I think once again, it's going to be based on voter turnout, right? We need to get Democrats to come out and vote. Mondaire has a terrific record in his 2 years there in Washington. I think he's a very good elected official for the people of that district. So I think that's the big key here, is sharing what his successes were and what he did in his term and why we would want Mondaire back, you know, leading again in Washington in 2025. I think the way that the redistricting came out, I think it's another failure by our party in some ways, by allowing these people in the courts to redistrict, right? This is something that happens all the time. I mean, just here in Westchester last year, we supported a judge, and the judge's first, you know, he was a Republican who became a Democrat. And in this first big decision, he sided with a bunch of Republicans against migrant children. And we also, you know, not we, I certainly didn't. I was actually very vocal against this particular guy. And yet a lot of our Democratic leaders supported him. And the first thing he did was burn us and burn our belief systems. You know, I think that there's a lot of mistakes that were made back when this happened in 2022. And we need to fix that by getting Mondaire back in there. But I think promoting his record of what he did when he was in Washington is the way to achieve that.
When you talk about local issues up in that district and you talk about Mondaire Jones' achievements, what are the couple of things you emphasize most?
I think being part of Joe Biden's agenda, right, that came in 2020 to try to change a lot of the Trump policies is a big thing to a lot of people. Thing like the CHIPS Act, the Infrastructure Act, things that tried to get us out of COVID and did get out of COVID, right, as inflation is cooling and things like that. You know, Mondaire was an intricate part as a leader in the Democratic Party in Washington on that. And then I think from the LGBTQ side, right, which is us, we don't have many of us out there that are elected officials. So we need to continue to get people who align with our values in office. And I think the LGBTQ community, which sometimes sits on their hands in a lot of these races locally, we tend to get involved in the sexier races like the presidential race and things like that. But it's really important to have these people in Congress. And I think we need to do that with Mondaire.
Let's talk about Mike Lawler for a couple of moments. Over the past 2 years, at least from where I sit, it feels like he's made a few moves to try to appear more centrist, maybe even bipartisan. I'll mention a couple of those and get your thoughts. He mentioned, I think, shortly after the 2022 election that had he been in Congress when the vote had been taken, he would have supported the federal legislation that enshrined federal recognition of same-sex marriages. He was an early and fierce critic of George Santos, who was a fellow New York Republican. And there was a measure called the Federal Parents Bill of Rights that was a conservative bill. It would have required schools, among other things, it would have required schools to report to parents a student's desire to change their gender pronouns, even if there was evidence that there might have been physical abuse at home as a result of that disclosure. Lawler initially co-sponsored that measure, but then ended up voting against it. Do these kinds of actions give Lawler, in your opinion, any room to paint himself as a centrist?
Well, I think that's what he's tried to do all along. You know, Rockland has become a little bit of a purple district. You know, I think that's a big thing. I think Rockland isn't necessarily blue. It was blue for a while, and I think it's gone a different direction. You know, my favorite line about Mike Lawler is that he's a fraud. You know, he says one thing and does the other. He votes with Mike Johnson, who's one of the most, you know, anti-LGBTQ politicians we've ever seen 98% of the time. I might be a little off on that, but that's it. So I don't believe that he, you know, that he is there. I think he's for the most part going to, you know, vote that way. And I think if we had a Republican president, he's going to side with the Republican president. You know, we know he sides with Donald Trump. There's photos of him out there with Donald Trump. And he's had a couple fundraisers with Mike Johnson and Donald Trump locally to raise money. No, he's a fraud and he's not for our community. He's going to go after trans kids when those bills come up. He's not going to be a friend of our community. You know, he showed up at some pride events and I've been the first. He should not be anywhere near a pride event. Our community has to stop with this middle of the road stuff and say, well, no. He is an enemy of the LGBTQ community and we need to make sure that he's not reelected.
Anthony, when you're out campaigning for a congressional candidate, are you able to connect with voters with the argument that a vote for Mike Lawler is a vote for Republican House Speaker Mike Johnson? Do voters get that connection and do they care about that connection?
I think it depends who you're speaking to, right? I think that you do need to speak to different people. I think if you're talking about getting LGBTQ turnout out, 100%, right? Because there's a direct correlation there. There's a value system there. This guy is coming after your rights. That is a must. If we turn around and you're knocking on a union member's door, I think you need to attack, you know, where is Mike Lawler on the unions? Where is he on labor? So those two things are an important piece of where we're at with that. So I think you need to cater the conversations to who you're speaking to. You know, like I said, if my van is going specifically after LGBTQ people, that might be a different conversation than someone who's an educator or a labor person. And sometimes they do intersect. It just kind of depends on where you're at.
Do voters in the Hudson Valley see the issue of democracy and threats to our basic democracy as something that is on the ballot this year?
Yeah, I think that's 100% the way to go. I think that we have to do this. With everything going on, Donald Trump continues to go that route, right? Talking about being a dictator and talking about all these different things. There is no way around that. I think that's something that resonates to everybody. People understand that. The middle of the road understands, hey, you know, you're a woman and, you know, they're coming after your body. They're coming after your votes. They're trying to overturn elections. I just think that resonates with people. And I think, especially Democratic voters. So I think that that's a good talking point to have. And I think that's one of the reasons that the Project 2025 thing has been so polarizing. And even the Republicans are starting to run away from it now because people are looking at it going, wait a minute here, this is going to change the fabric of our country. We can't allow this. So clearly these methods are working.
And the revelations about some of the positions and statements that J.D. Vance has made in the past 5 years, is that sinking in with voters up there as well?
You know, I think it goes along with a failed campaign, right? I think Trump and the way he's doing things now and his disapproval ratings, and then he picks somebody who people like less than him. You know, I don't think a vice president is necessarily going to decide the race, but I think that, you know, it's just the likability piece, right? Like, we know that Donald Trump has a massive disapproval rating. It's bad. And I think that when you add someone who also is not liked, and the conversation is never positive, it's all this weird talk of couches and cat ladies, and it doesn't help your campaign when you're trying to bring people into the fold, which is ultimately what both parties need to do for this election, is win the middle of the road votes, because they're going to decide this thing.
Turn to an issue that has had Mondaire Jones in the news recently. He inserted himself into that recent contentious Democratic primary contest in the neighboring 16th congressional district between progressive incumbent Jamal Bowman and his successful challenger, George Latimer, who is the Westchester County executive. Jones supported Latimer, who was the winner. But do you think Jones' involvement in that contest, being vocal about it, is going to hurt him with any significant group of 17th district voters?
I was an open supporter, and there wasn't many establishment people, per se, of Jamal Bowman. I think Jamal was a very good, you know, everyone has their faults, but I thought Jamal was a very good congressional elected official for me personally. And I love George Latimer. And I think George Latimer is going to be a terrific congressman. You know, everyone has to do what they have to do when they run. I ran for office. I made decisions that I might not have done. And, you know, Mondaire made this decision. I don't know where he sits on it today, but I think it would be silly for progressives to not, it's like my dad used to say, what is it? Cutting your nose to spite your face. And that's what we would be doing here. You know, we screwed this up in 2022 in New York State. Our state with Santos and Lawler, and we allowed this to happen to lose the House. We could have had all three branches for two more years and dominated in politics. So we got to stop with this nonsense of being upset because Mondaire did this or Mondaire didn't support the people they wanted him to and support Mondaire Jones. Because I promise you, 4 years of Donald Trump or 2 years of Mike Lawler or however this thing plays out is way worse than anything we're looking at. So we need to put that aside now. And I think that the progressives need to really get out. And I'm one of them. I'm a progressive. I want to get out there and do what we have to do to support Mondaire Jones.
Anthony, you're very involved in New York State politics. I mentioned five Republican seats that are viewed as competitive this year that Democrats could pick up. Do you have any sense of, you know, what the scorecard is going to look like at the end of November voting?
I mean, I think that, in New York, I think we have a better grasp. I think we woke up. I think we suffered from 2022, and I think we woke up. The Mondaire race we know is, of course, going to be close. I think the Long Island races are good. Up in Syracuse, I believe it's 22, is John Manion, who is a state senator right now, and he's also a former union president. And we actually did our campaign training together in 2018 when we ran for office. I was with him. I spent some time with him in Houston. His race is looking pretty good. So I think we're going to be okay. I think that in a divided country, I think Donald Trump has so many flaws. I think that those flaws are just going to come to light in this election season. And I'm not saying it's because, you know, Harris is that much better of a candidate, even though I believe she is. I don't know if everyone believes that. I think Trump is the X factor here. I think what Trump has done post-election, right, post-2020 has been so bad that people just don't want to vote for him. And I think that Joe Biden's age was becoming such a big issue that is off the table now. So I think that being off the table gives people a better option. It gives more energy to the Democrats to get out there and vote. It's a younger person, right? It's a person of color, multiracial, a woman. And I think that's what the Democrats ultimately want. They want to see progress. So I think we're going to be okay, but I think we need to continue to get out there and push that message as we head to November. We cannot be silent. We cannot be quiet. When these right-wing people are pushing dark money and things like that, we need to speak up against them, and we need to be honest and truthful. And if we do that, I think we'll be okay in November.
For listeners interested in contributing to the efforts in the Hudson Valley to elect Mondaire Jones and Kamala Harris, what are the best opportunities for volunteering or otherwise contributing?
New York State's having a million different kinds of things. There's a Kamala, I don't have the information sitting in front of me, but there's a New York State Kamala Harris group that's going to organize. Obviously, it's about the down ballot races here in New York State. Kamala, you know, she's going to win New York. We know that. But just getting the voter turnout to support her and the down ballot candidates in these other congressional races, and even the state Senate and assembly races. It's going to be tough for Republicans to win the down ballot races in New York in a year like this. It's just how it works, which is why, if you notice, the Republicans are pushing. There's that bill that's been out there where they're going to align all the races to the even years. And the Republicans don't want that because the Republicans win because the Democrats don't show up and vote. Even if you look at the George Latimer, Jamal Bowman race, you know, Jamal Bowman won in Yonkers. He won in Mount Vernon. He won in the Bronx. But the voter turnout was abysmal. If it was high voter turnout, that's a different election. So the Republicans want to keep voter turnout down, especially in a place like New York. You know, I would go directly as far as, you know, to the campaigns. I think they have the best knowledge of what's coming here. And I think the affinity groups are going to work with them on the opportunities to get out on the ground and get boots on the ground to knock doors and such.
Anthony Nicodemo, president of the Hudson Valley Stonewall Democrats. Thank you for joining the podcast.
Thanks for having me and thanks for all the work you're doing. This is really important stuff.
Thanks again to Shannon Powell, co-founder of Indivisible Westchester, and to Anthony Nicodemo, president of the Hudson Valley Stonewall Democrats. And thanks to all of you for joining me again this week. You can get in touch with Indivisible Westchester by emailing Shannon at communications@indivisiblewestchester.org. To learn more about the Hudson Valley Stonewall Democrats, visit their Facebook page or email Anthony at coachnicodemo@gmail.com. Nicodemo is Nicodemo. And to learn more about the Mondaire Jones campaign for Congress in New York's 17th Congressional District, visit mondaireforcongress.com. That's MONDAIRE for Congress.com. Please join us for our next episode of Talk It Out, LGBTQ Voices in a Queer Election Year. And if you haven't done so already, subscribe now on Apple, Spotify, and other podcast platforms.